Yeah, 15 seconds.
Oh, well, Pete just told me to start.
I'm teasing you.
Do you want any of
these? It's 7 o'clock. Okay, I would like to call this regularly scheduled Committee of the Whole meeting to order and let the record show that we are, all the aldermen are here except Alderman Piper, Alderman Dantino, Alderman Flanagan, and Mayor Burns, who I believe will be arriving soon. Okay, our first item of business is one of our favorites every year, and that is to proclaim November 13th through 19th as American Education Week in the city of Geneva. And I think we have our senior student government representative, Maureen Levy. Hi, Maureen.
Hello.
Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and the actual program?
Well, I'm Maureen Levy. I'm currently a senior at Geneva High School. I've been involved in student government all 4 years. And in the fall, we, in the morning for one day, get to shadow a city official. And then we go to lunch. And then in the afternoon, we have roundtable discussions with other members of the city.
Great. Thank you. So that'll be tomorrow.
Yep.
Do you know who you're shadowing?
I'm with a police officer. I'm not sure which one, though.
Okay. And we do have, for the aldermen, the brochure about tomorrow. And then, Maureen, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your personal experience with government.
Well, I've been...
It never gets old, this story.
I've been a member of student council since I was in first grade, and then also last year, second semester, I was nominated by Senator Richard Durbin to be the Senate page from Illinois, and so I was one of 30 kids that got to go to Washington, D.C., and intern in the Senate for a semester and go to school there as well.
That's awesome. And congratulations to you, but of course us in student government think it's all because of the great program, but thank you.
Absolutely.
Now you have a proclamation you want to read that we're going to accept from the city?
All right. Whereas the City of Geneva, in collaboration with the Geneva Community School District, founded the Geneva Student Government Committee in 2001 to emphasize the importance of civic duty, and whereas Geneva Student Government is an order for thoughts and ideas, or I'm sorry, outlet for thoughts and ideas, and whereas the partnership of the City of Geneva and the Geneva Community School District promotes leadership in the schools and the community and instills a strong sense of service in the students involved, and whereas the City of Geneva has recognized its responsibility to educate Geneva's youth with the opportunities to provided through this program, and whereas Geneva students through the Geneva Student Government Program have recognized their responsibility to the community and to the nation with the help of community leaders, educators, parents, and students. Therefore, I'm Maureen Levy, as a representative of Geneva Community High School and the Geneva Student Government Program, do hereby celebrate November 13th through the 19th, 2011, as the 11th year of the Geneva Student Government Program, and proclaim November 13th through the 19th, 2011, as the 90th annual observation of American Education Week in Geneva, Illinois. Signed this 14th day of November 2011.
Thank you. On behalf of Mayor Burns and the rest of the City Council, I am going to accept this and once again say congratulations on being the senior student government leader, which you've worked up the ranks. So thank you and see you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Maureen. Our next, if I could have a motion to recommend the approval of the use of the right-of-way for the Salvation Army, Red Kettle Drive, 2011.
So moved.
Second.
Motion from Hill, second from Marks. And is Major Kohler here tonight? No? Okay, so does anyone have any questions for Mrs. DeVita? Okay, all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Item 2, letter C, recommend draft resolution authorizing First Amendment to lease agreement with T-Mobile Central LLC at the Logan Avenue Tower. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kilberg, second by Brown. Do we have any questions for Mr. Dinges? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Unanimous. Thank you. Oh, I voted yes on both those. It was implied. All right. Moving right along. Letter D, recommend draft resolution authorizing agreement with King County for donation and permanent and temporary easement. Sorry, I lost my, for Randall Road pedestrian bicycle underpass.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill and Maladra seconds it. Does anyone have any questions for Mrs. McKittrick? Okay, Alderman Marks.
Mary, we're donating this, right? Even though the letter says we can ask for remuneration, I think, from the county. But we're donating it anyways, correctly, because we really want that.
It still remains the city's
property. Oh, it does. Okay. One set of permanent ones. Okay. But it is. All right. That's fine. Thank you.
Did someone over here have a question? Alderman Singer?
No, I did wanted to. The understanding is, of course, this process, this program is not going to cost the city any money.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, that's always good news. Thank you.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
All right.
Did we have any questions or comments from the audience? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? I vote aye. So that's unanimous, and that will go to next week's meeting of the City Council. Okay, item 2, letter E, recommend draft resolution authorizing bid award and contract to Elena's Landscape Group in the amount of $57,848 for the 2012 and $57,848 for the 2013 year for City Landscape Maintenance Program.
So moved.
Second.
Brown motions and Singer seconds. Does anyone have any questions on this one? Alderman Kilberg?
I had a few questions. Is this the same company
that
provided the services for us in 2011?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Any possible explanation why their bid is 25% less than the next closest bid?
Actually, no, I don't have an explanation for that. But looking back on 2 years ago when we went out to bid, their bid actually went up about 15% this bid time. Several others went down, but they were still higher.
One last question. Approximately, any idea how many complaints we might have received on their services? A lot of times they're interacting with residents, and that I guess I'd be interested in any type of feedback as it relates to how this company's performed historically.
Basically, we've used this company probably for, this will be the third contract season. Their work is acceptable. It's not fantastic. It's not stellar, but it is meeting the bid specifications. There have been a couple issues with the company, but we worked with the company, and they did resolve those issues. They were very receptive to resolving the issues. As far as complaints, I'm trying to think, during the course of the past year or two, very quiet. Very quiet.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Lemire. We had the motion from Brown and second from Singer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Okay, item F, recommend draft resolution declaring electric division vehicle G15 as surplus property. And we have Mr. Buffington here, if anyone has a question about that.
So move.
Second.
Oh, thank you. Motion by Singer, second by Marks. Now we'll have questions.
I had one question.
Okay, Alderman Kilberg. We'll just give Mr. Buffington a minute. And you too.
A few months ago, they'd indicated that this bucket truck might be used as sort of a backup as it relates to the Emerald Ash Bore, and the fact that the bucket truck might be acceptable would work. Mechanically, it was sufficient to help with banners and Christmas trees and those types of things that we need to do downtown, and that would really free up the other bucket truck then to do tree removal. Any explanation on where we're at with that?
If I may,
if you're not prepared to, it appears that Mr. Lemire
jumping at the bit to
respond.
Last year, we came and asked for a new bucket truck, and that was truck 9.
Right.
Truck 9 is the new truck is in the shop right now. It's being looked at by our maintenance people. The decals and little items are being put on it, and the old truck 9 is being turned over to Steve. To the street department now. What we're looking at now is truck 15. It's a small bucket truck, and that bucket truck we're asking to be put as surplus and not be reused.
Okay, so we're not talking about the same truck here. Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you.
I thought that was the case.
Would anyone else have any questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Buffington. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to letter G. Recommend draft resolution authorizing award to purchase contract to Badger Truck Center Incorporated in the budgeted amount of $107,426 for the electric division bucket truck. Can I have a motion?
Move approval.
Hill motions.
Second.
Maladra seconds. Does anyone have a question for Mr. Lemire would like to talk, or Mr. Buffington on the purchase? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Letter H, recommend draft ordinance amending Title IX, Chapter 1, Article 1A, Temporary Electric Power Service.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Gilbert, and second by Singer?
Correct.
Okay, does anyone have a question about this? Okay, Alderman Singer, please.
Thank you. Looking through the ordinance, I couldn't see what the fees were going to be charged for the service. How is that decided?
Mrs. McKittrick?
They're in the code. There are different rates in our city code of ordinances, and this
right.
is the general rate that's listed in there.
Okay.
So we refer back to that so that
I see.
We don't have to change each and every ordinance as it applies to that. We just refer back to the code.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Mrs. McKittrick. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Item 2, letter I. Recommend draft resolution declaring water and wastewater division vehicle G13 as surplus property. Can I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Sam Hill, second by Marks. And did I see Mr. Van Gescom is here if anyone has any questions? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, item J. Recommend draft resolution authorizing award and purchase contract to Morrow Brothers Ford Incorporated in the amount of $26,189 for the wastewater division one-ton pickup truck. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Hill motions.
Second.
Second is Singer, and again, we have Mr. Van Gescom if anyone has a question. Okay, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Item K.
Here we go.
See, Mr. Dahl didn't think we'd be done this fast, did he?
We're not done yet.
Well, no, I mean, but this is where he would come in, you know.
He's
out of town. Okay. Item K, recommend approval of 2011 City of Geneva tax levy. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Hilberg, and second by Hill. And Singer.
No, I didn't think
sorry.
So.
All right, take it back, Mr. Singer.
Thank you.
As was stated, Mr. Dahl's out of town, but does anyone have any questions for City Administrator McKittrick?
I do.
Okay.
I told you when you weren't done yet.
Alderman Hill.
This isn't from the Department of Public Works. This is from the Finance Department, so doesn't get breezed through. It's like, Tom's not here, so he can't run it through like Dan can, apparently. I am concerned about a 2% increase, as I think is proposed. And through Mr. Dahl's examples, the increases showed that there was going to be a tax increase. And I think a tax increase of any amount in these economic conditions is contrary to what should be happening. I think it would be a strain on many residents of our community. And I think that some of the other public agencies like the county, the Kane County Board, has indicated there'd be no increase. I think there's other cities. I don't know who they are, but I've been led to believe there's several that have indicated there'll be no tax levy increase because of the economic conditions. I looked at my last three tax bills and noticed that I did have increases over the past 2 years. The examples that Mr. Dahl had sent out showed us assessment rates of market value homes in year 2011 at about $305,000. And after all of the number crunching that he did such a good job in doing for us, at the bottom line, it showed that at the 2% corporate dollar increase, it'd be at least $11.75. And I believe there are other areas where we might have an attempt for increases, and if it's that much on a house of that assessed valuation, or that assessment, assessed valuation, I think that is too high. I think any increase at all is too high in these economic conditions. And I think we've got to bite the bullet. I don't know what we have to bite to keep ourselves from raising taxes, even $1. But I think we've got to really strongly consider that strategy this year, no matter what sacrifices we might have to make. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman Hill. Would anyone else like to speak? Alderman Maladra?
We've been talking about these economic conditions for going on 3 years now.
Excuse me, could you just use your mic? I couldn't go without busting you around once.
We've been talking about these economic conditions for going on 3 years now. I'm starting to question how long we're going to be facing this, and I'm wondering if instead we're looking at a new normal. So my big question is, do we really expect next year to be any different? Do we expect the year after that to be any different? And I'm thinking, at least as far as next year is concerned, probably not. So to me, the challenge is not what do we do in these economic times to save a person $11 a year or $11 twice a year. To me, the challenge is what do we do to keep this corporate entity providing the quality of service and the quality of life that Geneva residents have come to expect. I've heard comments about how, you know, taxes are going to price people out of town. There's a lot of reasons people leave town. People will leave town if it becomes less safe. People will leave town if potholes remain unfilled. People will leave town if schools start to struggle. People will leave town for a number of reasons. I don't know that they're going to leave town if a 2% levy increase is going to drive them there. Our charge is to provide the best economic value, not to provide the cheapest. So to me, I think it's a question of value. I think that we're already operating at an efficient level. I think we've reduced our budget. I don't remember the exact percentages, but year over year, we're decreasing our budget. I think that the responsible thing to do is to look at the big picture in terms of time horizon, services provided, and ask ourselves, how can we continue to provide that level of service? And also we have to recognize that on day one, we're starting with a $100,000 hole, thanks to our friends downstate.
And our local legislators, the representative downstate.
Our downstate legislators,
yeah.
Yes. So I appreciate the difficulty of the economic times, but I think that people need to be aware of where this can lead. If we look at it as if we make a move now that puts us in a hole, any size hole, our ability to get out of that hole next year is lessened if these economic times continue. And then we're digging ourselves into a deeper hole next year and a deeper hole after that, and none of us knows how quickly it can turn on us. So I'll support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Maladra. Would anyone else like to speak? Alderman Kilberg.
Barry was first. I want her to speak.
Oh, sorry. You're right. I see. You can't see out of your peripheral.
I just wanted to remind the council that this is an estimate, that this is the maximum that it could be if this is recommended forward. It has to be by law done within 20 days, or at least 20 days before formal approval. We are at 21 days right now, so we have to have some kind of recommendation on it. So this is an estimate by law. Once you set the estimate, that's basically a cap, so it can't go higher than that. When it comes back on December 5th, it can be lower if you choose to vote lower, but it can't be higher than this. If the council chooses to keep the rate as the same as it was last year, that would be a loss of $200,000 to the city. Combine that with the $100,000 that we just lost because of the state vote, that's $300,000 then that we would be starting the budget for next fiscal year. So that would be difficult to make up, to say the least. Again, I would say that in what we've tried to do is to maintain the lowest increase, the least amount of increase going forward, or recommend that, while keeping the service level the same as it is right now. And again, looking at an $11 increase on a home valued at $300,000+, we feel is looking at the cost of everything going up and keeping that in mind and keeping in sync with that. So we don't feel that, although we understand that it's difficult for everybody, but we have to pay for the goods and commodities that we buy as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKittrick. Alderman Kilberg.
No, I'll support this evening, but I would like to know if you could identify what areas of services would be impacted if we were to look at the $300,000 then that you quantified as the amount that we'd be working from if, in fact, we did work with the $0 increase as a levy. If that could be quantified to some degree, I think it'd be helpful in processing and trying to determine the value judgment then that Alderman Maladra was referring to.
I would hesitate to do that only because the budget development process takes about 4 months. Mm-hmm. And within a matter of 20 days to say, well, it's probably going to affect this service or that program, I don't feel would be looking at the budget comprehensively, because we go through it line by line, operational budget line by line, through capital budget, and then obviously through the goals that were set by this council at our strategic planning workshop. So I think that it would be arbitrary for me to come back and say, you know, here are your choices as it applies to $300,000 in programs without going through the process and looking at everything comprehensively. So can it be done? Yes. Would it be accurate? No. It would be grabbing at straws, I believe. It's just such a long and detailed process.
You know, I would think that there would be some areas that you'd revert back to based on some level of priority, whether it's capital projects. I would think that there would be at least three or four areas that could be identified fairly easily in relationship to everything that's included in the budget. But maybe I'm wrong.
I
respect your comments.
I don't have the capital proposals until January, when I sit down with the department heads and go through their operational budgets line by line and then look at their capital proposals.
I mean, there are things that we're anticipating as capital projects for next year that could be deferred or delayed. I mean, I would think that we'd have a pretty good idea what we're planning to do next year as it relates to capital expenditures. That was a suggestion, and if it's not possible, then we'll need to move forward with the information that we have, but it would be helpful.
I can come back with some things, but again, it would be arbitrary because I don't know. I know that we're going to have a street program. I know the goals that this council prioritized. I'm not sure about price tags yet. We haven't gotten that far. But as far as major capital projects from all of the departments, I really don't know, other than some of the things that were put on the five-year list. But I don't know if some of those were intended for this upcoming year and those will be proposed, or the year after, or so on and so forth. So I feel that it would be arbitrary for me to start picking and choosing without having all of the information to look at first, is all.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Alderman Kilburg and Mary. Alderman Maladra. Can I go to Alderman Marks since he hasn't spoken yet? Thank you. Alderman Marks.
Mary, just some questions because I guess I'm a little confused. How many passes do we get at this? Tonight, we can levy the highest amount because that's all that we can ever get then for sure.
This is an estimate.
Right, okay.
Is what this is. And it has to be done before the formal vote is taken state statute.
And that formal vote is taken?
December 5th.
Okay, and then?
It has to be filed with the county by the last Tuesday in December.
So do we get better numbers then by December 5th? Do they come up with that or not?
Better than what?
Than this estimate now, because you're saying this is an estimate. Do they give us a
No, this is these are the numbers that we have to work with right now. We will not get the actual EAV from the county probably until about March, until all of the appeals have been finalized.
And at that point, can we reduce the levy or not in March when we see it? I mean, I know we can't go higher because this is the highest we can do. At that point, do we get a chance to, or is this really it?
When it's filed with the clerk, that's a final at that point.
So this is the estimate based upon the numbers that we previously received from the township and the county.
Correct.
But it's that when we vote on it, no matter what happens, then we've locked in the levy, and that's what we're going to
receive. You've locked in the maximum.
Right. But there's
and
no
typically the EAV will go down because of the appeals.
Okay.
So that means that typically what you're estimating is the absolute maximum that the city would get. And it's likely that we would get less than that because of the tax property appeal process.
So if I look at these numbers, right, and I'm just trying to clarify it in my mind, I think I have. We're looking at about a 2.4% increase I think, if we look at the levy amount. However, 3.43% of that is really based upon debt, which the voters voted in, which
correct.
We really have no say over.
That's correct.
That was law. They voted it. They approved it. It wasn't approved by the council. It was approved by the voters. That's automatic to make sure that all the bonds get paid.
Well, some of it was approved by, I mean, obviously the council, but yes, there were referendums.
But there were referendums,
yes,
voted on these that,
yes,
is increasing the 3.4.
And that continues to increase every year.
Because of the way we bonded, paying interest first, principal later. Okay. Thank you. I just needed that clarified. So what you're saying then really is this is the time, now on December 5th is when the rubber really meets the road. We can't really go back and change it after that.
To my knowledge, I mean, there are abatements after that. We can abate, but as far as for changing the numbers, I don't believe so. I've never known that to happen.
Okay. So
because they're preparing, the county is starting to prepare tax bills to be sent out to be around the 1st of June, those are due.
So what the levy is, realistically, is what we pretty much get, and it either then is spent through the budget or hits our reserves, correct?
Well, it goes to the general fund primarily.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Support about a quarter of the general fund.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And just to clarify, so if the EAV comes lower than we're anticipating, then so will the money received by the city?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alderman Marks. Alderman Maladra.
So I was going to follow up on some of what Dean was saying. So first, you just what we're talking about is the operations of the general fund, correct? So not the water, not the electric. This is all general fund?
This is none of this goes to water and electric. That's correct.
Okay. So when we talk about deferring capital projects, I believe there are projects that we've deferred for multiple years, and we've been discussing over the last, well, at our goal setting workshop and at previous meetings, the constant deferring of these things is weakening our infrastructure as we go forward. So that's another type of hole that we dig ourselves into that in these economic times, I don't see us getting out of. We had a discussion last year about deferring things. I know we're just talking about the levy now, but if we go for a lesser levy and we reduce our income by $300,000, we'll be talking about deferring again. So we dig ourselves in these holes, folks, and we don't come out of them easily. So without being able to state specifically which projects are going to be deferred, I think that we all can get a good sense of the problem. The problem is we will go in, we'll defer again, we will weaken our infrastructure further, and I don't know when that turns around. We can deal with this on a year-by-year basis, or we can, you talk about biting a bullet, I think we up here need to bite a bullet and say, enough, it's time to start strengthening our infrastructure, things like that. I forgot what else I was going to say. Sorry. I'm done.
Thank you, Alderman Maladra. Ms. McKittrick?
If I could just add one thing, too, and Tom mentioned this before, is that we do add growth, new construction into the base, and by not acknowledging that, we lose that forever because that's compounded. That goes, you know, to the calculation. But if we don't, for example, if we were to keep the same rate as we had last year, we would lose that $4 million worth of growth forever. We would not have it to build off of next year. And I know that it's complicated, but the point is if you don't account for new construction in your calculations, and by keeping the same rate as last year, you wouldn't be acknowledging that, then you lose that new growth forever. And your EAV then, it doesn't account for that.
I have a question. Where is that $4 million of new growth anticipated of construction?
It's in the permits, the construction permits.
And construction permits, do we anticipate $4 million?
No. That we had over the past year.
Oh, the past year. I misunderstood that.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Misunderstood. So, but I don't know if we
Alderman
can really estimate? I mean, have we heard of any developments that are coming to town that are going to bring us?
No, this I'm talking about construction that happened over
the
past
year. Oh, that already happened. So
yes.
We would lose the yes. ability to tax that.
We would lose that in our calculations, that growth.
Yeah, all right. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Alderman Brown.
Thank you. I will vote for this because, indeed, it is an upper limit. But clearly, I'm sympathetic with what Alderman Marks first mentioned with respect to the waterfront, that we have a water fund, we have a broken system. Here, there was something broken here. Every year, we're asked to approve a levy based on a simple arithmetic calculation the state gives us. We're told, well, we don't know the budget yet. So, you know, we have the cart before the horse for sure, and this happens every year. We end up asking for the maximum, and the state laws are such that the maximum barely gets us through. The whole thing is crazy. We go through this long budget process after we've already asked for the money. I, too, think that we're in a different era now. This was fine. Tax rates went down when growth was basically accommodating more funding each year, even though this crazy formula was limiting us. Because of the growth, we were having no trouble. But now we're in a situation where I agree with Alderman Maladra. I think we're talking about a different future here. And this funding, this whole way we do things is just crazy, and it's very hard to justify it to the public. We're asking for money before we look at the budget. And because we have a feeling, and we're being told by the staff, well, even the maximum we're allowed to ask for is highly constraining. Maybe it is. Maybe we need to rethink about how we're running cities, if that's true. Maybe we have to rethink about how the state implies upon it. Basically, the state is setting our budget each year, whether we like it or not, because every year we turn out we're asking for the maximum under their calculation, which is a very contorted calculation. It's not clear it applies to a city like Geneva at all. Anyway, as I say, I'll vote for it tonight because it is indeed an upper limit, but I, too, would like to look at the budget between now and December, and somehow I have the feeling that I don't have to look at the details of every single project that may or may not be on next year's list to understand whether or not we're running a tight ship. I believe we are, but I'm going to look through the numbers again between now and December 3rd, and as usual, the city staff I know will be there to help explain anything that I can't understand. But talk about a process that's broken, and every year we go through this, and it's absolutely clear that the majority of the council doesn't quite understand how this calculation works. Mm-hmm. It took me over an hour with an Excel spreadsheet to really understand how this thing projects out into the future. It is complicated. Any new growth that you don't take into account this year, you do lose every year in the future. You don't lose it exponentially. You lose it linearly, but you do lose it into the future according to this formula. I think the whole thing is really broken, and it's broken not just at the level of Geneva, but it's clearly broken at a much higher level, at the level of the state, who haven't, I don't believe, understood how cities like Geneva work. And it's clear this recent vote that's taken 100,000 away from us is a perfect example of how they don't understand how cities work. But the bottom line is I will vote for this upper limit tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Brown. Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Hill?
I agree the system is broken, but it's been broken since before 1959. 1959, I worked for the city of Lincoln, Illinois, in a small department and had to put together a budget for the following fiscal year. And I had to go through the learning process of how to do it this way. And it was quite an amazing experience. With a budget of only $26,000 for my department, it was not that difficult, not that many dollars involved. But I couldn't hardly believe that we had to ask for a levy and an increase if we thought that we were going to need more money. So it's been broken for that long. And I don't think that the state of Illinois has the mental capability amongst its legislators and taxpayers to make a change. And that's unfortunate. But I still think that we ought to put some restrictions on ourselves. Maybe Alderman Brown has a partial solution of looking at some numbers as much as possible. Between now and December 5th, which will certainly be difficult. But I think that we've got to heed the leadership of some of the other public agencies, such as Kane County and I don't know the name of the other cities that are holding back from any increases, but I've been led to believe there are some. So I'm not going to be interested in voting for a 2% increase, but maybe we can come to a better agreement by December the 5th. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Any more comments from the dais? Alderman Brown.
Yes, thank you for a second bite at the apple here. I forgot to mention one thing, which is when I joined the council, the tax rate was over a dollar, and mostly through growth, but partly through the hard work of the council and the very hard work of the city staff, we got it down below 60 cents, which was almost a factor, too, from where it was when I first got involved in the city. I don't believe we're ever going to get down there again. I think it's clear from what many people have said, including Alderman Maladra, I think we're in a different era now. And the fact that we're back up to 65, still a lot way below where it was, and I think we can thank, you know, hard work by the council, hard work especially by the staff over these years. We've built a city that's got a pretty good infrastructure at this point. A lot of this debt service, of course, is paying for the fact that we now have 20 years' worth of good infrastructure in most of our places. Already some of our buildings, like Public Works, are not as young as I remember them when we built them. But I think the city's in pretty good position, and we're going to be able to hold it well below a dollar, is my guess. But I don't think, my personal opinion is, looking at the numbers and trying to project them out, I don't think we're going to get down below 60 cents again. And we were just the beneficiaries of that 10 years plus, 15 years of growth that doubled the size of the city. Was worse when I first bought a house in this city, but thank you.
Thank you. Anyone from the audience want to address the issue? Okay, Alderman Maladra.
Sorry, I'm the greedy guy going for three bites of the apple. We do have a pretty good infrastructure right now, but I would just like to remind the council that just in recent times we've talked about a number of things. We've talked about the challenges of maintaining the cemeteries. We've talked about the challenges of keeping up with the Emerald Ash Borer. We've talked about the challenges of keeping our roads in good condition under the fixed budget that we allocate for that. This council needs to recognize that a lot of things are changing. This is fact, not fiction, and those things will be as detrimental to the quality of life of people living in Geneva as an $11 a year higher tax bill. It's a tricky balance, and I do appreciate the impact on both sides, but at the end of the day, it's as much what we offer in terms of quality of life through services as what we offer through quality of life through no impact on the pocketbook. Are you laughing at me? Are you sure?
Okay. You're asking her, not me, right?
Yeah, I know the answer from you.
Okay, thank you, Alderman Maladra. There being no more questions, we're going to go ahead and have a roll call.
May I have a shot at some of those numbers?
Absolutely, Alderman Hill.
All right, thank you. Item by item, the cemetery maintenance has improved greatly, and not just because of any volunteers, but I think the staff has adjusted their procedures and have done a much better job than in the past. So I'm not too worried about that anymore and about any additional costs. Emerald Ash Borer replacement of those trees, of course, we're sharing that with the homeowners. It is going to cost us more money, but not as much as it would be if we had to replace all those trees at city cost. And I just think that we've got to the dollar. People keep saying $11, and even by Mr. Dahl's page here, the 2% corporate dollar increase, it's $11.75. So that calculates with the debt service to close to, am I correct? And please correct me if I'm wrong, close to $15. Is that? No, just $11.75. Okay, fine. Thank you. But, and as far as people leaving because of taxes, I do recall a letter that Alderman Brown and the mayor and I did receive from a former resident of James Street, on the south side of James Street, saying that they were leaving the city because of the increase of taxes. Now, I don't recall the details if they blame just the city, but it was overall taxes that were being incurred by this particular resident. I'm sure the city was there, the school district was involved, and the other corporate entities were involved in the taxes that they think forced them to leave town. So that was one particular incident, and it's only one that I know of. But I had to take a shot at some of those numbers. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Alderman Hill. Okay, we're going to go to a roll call vote, if you don't mind, Ms. Dawkins.
Did you ask if there was anyone in the audience?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
but they can have a second bite, too. Okay, thank you.
Alderman Brown?
Aye.
Alderman Hill?
Nay.
Alderman Maladra?
Aye.
Alderman Marks?
Aye.
Alderman Kilberg?
Aye.
Alderman Singer?
Aye.
Alderman Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion carries 6-1.
Motion carries 6-1. Thank you. Okay, and our last item of business, number 2, letter L. Recommend approval of draft resolution authorizing staff to negotiate and enter agreement with New World Systems in an amount not to exceed $515,000 for enterprise resource planning software. And we have Ms. Dawkins, and I believe we have some people here from New World, if anyone has any questions. Okay, at first I'll have a motion, please.
So move.
Thank you. Singer, second?
Second.
Brown, thank you. Okay. Now, would anyone like to ask any questions? Okay, Alderman Marks, with your
calculator. I guess my question is this. I know we need a new software program because the last one we bought, I think, was around $20,000 about 15 years ago. But $500,000 seems like a lot of money. Is there anything in the middle of that? I mean, it just seems like such a large – I mean, I know we're struggling with what we have, but it's working. It's not working great, and it is inefficient. But to go from – you know, 50-some thousand, if you take inflation into account, to $500,000, I have to think there's something in the middle. I work with a lot of companies that have, you know, offices in 16 states, work out of 20, that keep records that don't nearly spend this kind of money on software.
And we have Pete Collins, too.
I'll take this one.
Okay.
Just as a point of reference, getting back to your age on this, I started here in 99.
Mm-hmm.
This software predates me. This software predates all but two people in this building.
I think we told it was like 15 or 20 years old.
This software predates all of our investments in infrastructure. It predates having networked computers. And it does not serve the needs of what we're being asked to provide by the citizenry. Not even from an internal point of view. I can put this bluntly. The web presence for it is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't meet anything that people, typical citizens, would deal with from their bank, from Amazon, from anything. And they expect that, just from that aspect of it. But the price, honestly, the price is not out of line with when you look at what other counties are spending on this end of things. If you take the ratio of what the cost is, it's for what we're adding to the whole package as well, as far as the benefits for the building department and the community development end of things that are not part of just, I mean, okay, our current package kind of just nails utility billing and HR.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even really address those aspects and the tie-ins with that. It's really not out of line. And I think we've more than milked our money out of what we've got.
Oh, I'm not saying we don't need to replace something.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a large jump. I just want to make sure we're getting what we need, not what we want.
Right. I would say we did do an RFP on this, and of the proposals we got, they're all right about in this range. Now, we had to obviously, once we demoed all the vendors and looked at what they were offering. This was not the most expensive one, and this was not the least expensive one. But they were all within $100,000 of each other.
It just seems like a lot of money for a city of $20,000 for software.
And again, I would hazard to say this is not about software. It's about changing the way we do business. It allows for more transparency in government. It allows citizens to get more reports on their own. They would be able to go in and look up their utility usage. They would be able to pull financial reports that we place out there, all the kinds of things that we cannot currently do. So I personally look at it as a way of changing the way we do business as opposed to just software.
Are we getting a lot of requests for that?
We are. Okay. I would say on a weekly basis, at a minimum, we get a request for online utility billing.
I'm sorry, I ask for that every week.
We have pushed it as far as we can push it, just as far as what that application will do.
No, I know that the application needs to be replaced. I'm not arguing with that at all. I just find it hard to believe that it's going to take a $500,000 piece of software to do what we need to do. That's just my opinion.
Alderman Singer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Peter, what assurance do I have that you won't come before us or someone in your capacity in 5 years from now and say this program is archaic and has to be replaced?
I don't think it's a staff. But I guess I would kind of... You're having this discussion tonight. Craig was saying it right here. We have to keep reinvesting in stuff. Mm-hmm. If we let things slide, this is what happens to us.
Yeah.
We're going to have expenses that we're going to have to keep updating. We're going to have to pay maintenance clauses on contracts for programs. It's just how we – it's how the environment, how the market has changed as far as how software is purchased. It's almost more leased all the time than purchased. It's just what – it is these days.
And if I may add, one of the differences, the software that we currently use, the maintenance agreements did not include upgrades to that software.
Okay.
The new software that we're proposing going to would include upgrades. So as they improve their system, we would get those improvements as part of our maintenance cost. It would not be an additional cost.
And no cost to us for the improvement.
Well, we have a maintenance cost annually. Which accounts for those upgrades and those kinds of things. And certainly we do have representatives from New World who would be happy to explain how that works. But that is a difference between where we were 20 years ago. We did not get those upgrades included, so we did not come back to the city council and ask for upgrades, and therefore our system was not upgraded, and we're still working on COBOL screen, green screen types of.
Okay, well, how long will these upgrades be available to us?
If Carla would like to come up. The way the contract's currently proposed for the first 5 years, but we asked in the RFP for 10 years at a minimum.
So we sort of like have an insurance policy with them, if you might call it that. Is that what?
If we could just have your name real quick and your company.
Sure.
Just for the formality.
My name is Carl Lafif. I'm with New World Systems. I'm with the company. And to, I guess, first and foremost, to answer your question concerning 5 years from now, are you going to be back and getting the same thing? The answer empirically, New World's been in business for 13 years. Our average client tenure is just over 15 years. So this $500,000 expense is a true infrastructure expense for the average of our customers of 15 years. We've had customers in the state of Illinois. Will County is a customer of ours. They've been a customer for over 20 years maintaining the same, kind of the same software they licensed 20 years ago. They've stayed on maintenance. They've been upgraded and enhanced throughout those 20 years. So the maintenance on the current software includes all enhancements, dare I say bug fixes, because you know our software is not perfect. It's all enhancements, all bug fixes, that's as well as all state and local reporting requirements. So 941s, W-2s, 1099s, all that is included at no additional charge on top of our maintenance.
How do you respond to the maintenance issues? Does Peter give you a call and there's somebody here within 24 hours or?
Correct. There's a
12 hours or what?
The response time is based on severity. Obviously, if you can't get checks out or you can't bill utilities, that's a 24-hour guaranteed response time that there's going to have that fixed. So anything that's revenue and or payment to your employees is obviously the highest level.
And you don't charge us a fee of any sort for coming here to take care of whatever the needs are?
It would likely be remote. We have a help desk that's a 12-hour-a-day help desk on severe issues. It's as needed. So the beautiful thing about technology today is we can take an image of your software and have it replicate that back at our headquarters in Troy, Michigan. So we're able to troubleshoot from there.
Peter, I'm sure you were involved in determining the company to come in and do this program, and you feel comfortable with, apparently you feel comfortable with the choices here.
And actually, we already use New World for our police department, for our records management system, and also Kane County is also a large client of New World.
Kane County's having some difficulties with their program.
Not with this one. This is not this.
All right, that's good.
That would be the courts.
I see. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Peter.
Sure.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman.
Thank you. Alderman Kilburg.
Our company implemented an ERP.
You talking to the mic?
Our company implemented an ERP over the last 3 years, and it can be an involved process, and it takes a great deal of coordination to transition from an old program to a new program, and there's a lot of people that you need to bring along in that process. And I guess I would be interested in a little bit as far as an explanation as to the implementation. What type of a time frame are we looking at? How would it be segmented? How would it be implemented in the city's plans? Are we looking at a year, year and a half for full implementation? And I'll let you answer that one
Sure.
first.
There's a lot of questions there. I guess before I address the questions, I will give staff a lot of credit. Stephanie and Pete and Tom definitely put us through the paces. From reference checks, not only here locally, but me mentioning a customer somewhere in North Carolina, Stephanie would go out and proactively call those customers. So your staff did a very, very good job with the process, sure. Number one. To talk specifically about implementation, New World Systems narrows our focus on providing software, ERP software, to local governments. So 100% of our customers, and there's nearly 1,500 of them, and we've been in business for 30 years, are cities, counties, and villages. Here in Illinois, we have 56 customers and various agencies, like Kane County, there's more agencies, but they're considered one customer, that have been using our software for almost, like I said, 20, 30 years. So the implementation process we take is tried and true, and we understand the fact of budget season. We understand the fact that your staff has limited time. The proposed implementation process is roughly an 18-month plan. If you've gone through it for the last 3 years, you understand sometimes that can go one side or the other depending on staff requirements. So it's our job to sell and to implement software, so we can have people here every week. We could have two, three, four people here every week if need be. Stephanie's job is not to implement software, so we're very cognizant with our project management to ensure that we're not going too fast or too slow, that we're efficiently implementing the project.
Maybe you could elaborate a little bit on the payment schedule. We're looking at $515,000 here. Mm-hmm. Is that... how are those funds dispersed, or what's the plan as far as payment to your company, and what will the city be holding in reserve pending the completion of the project, successful completion of the project?
We're still in the middle of negotiating final contract terms, obviously contingent upon tonight's meeting, but originally we would pay the full cost of the software, which is roughly
$253,000.
We would pay that up front. By doing that, we were able to achieve a discount. Then there are steps throughout the implementation project and deadlines that they meet and that we meet, and we pay a portion thereafter. So the first fiscal year, we anticipate paying the $400,000. I think actually we might be at $333,000 by the end of this fiscal year, and then we would pay the remainder. They're usually at about 90-day interval, then 100-day interval, and so on and so forth. So we would always have a little bit out there until implementation is completely done.
And we don't say when implementation is done. It's joint sign-off. So we don't magically say our implementation is done here and then send you a bill. It's a joint sign-off, and that's detailed ad nauseum in our contracts.
One last question.
Sure.
What do you see as the two or three largest or greatest challenges that a municipality like Geneva would face in implementing this type of software?
That's a good question. Staff availability is always paramount. We have to have the staff available, and not only available, they have to be able to be willing to give us 100% of the week that we're there when we're training. So that is paramount. Secondly, depending upon data file conversions, we're finalizing that. We've discussed the pros and cons of not converting data. You have an old system. There's a concept in, if you've just gone through this, garbage in, garbage out. We want to make sure when you transition to New World, you have good, clean data. You can trust our reports. You can trust the information you're getting at. Some municipalities, they are very myopic, and they say, well, we need to have that data regardless of whether we trust it or not. That provides challenges in the implementation. Steffi and Pete and Tom and I have worked through that. I think you have a very good balance of what data you are converting and the project in general.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. Well, first simple question. We have the third of a million in this year's budget?
We have 400,000 budgeted still for this fiscal year.
Still in the budget this year?
Yes, sir.
With 4 months to go? Thank you. One would hope that a software expenditure of this amount would lead to some productivity increases. Mm-hmm. I have seen major software implementations. As a matter of fact, I happened to be in Washington when Al Gore reinvented Washington by basically introducing Washington to computers.
Okay.
And I went back a year later, and the front office staff in practically every building I went into was down by about a factor of two. It was a huge increase in the productivity and a huge decrease in the number of people actually employed in clerical kinds of jobs. And that's what you would hope from a package like this, productivity increases. Now, in a city like Geneva, which plans no future growth in the future, some of us on the council might be thinking, gee, that represents a decrease in staff, which would be offsetting this $500,000. We won't take you there. That's not. this is a huge. And clearly it will upgrade our services, but presumably it will do it in a way that's productivity friendly, I would hope. I'm not sure that some of these features, like allowing citizens to log in and see things, are first really wanted by this population, really needed by the population, and are really worth the money we're investing in it. The kind of people who want those numbers are usually the kind of people who want to come down and talk to somebody face-to-face. The people who are computer savvy typically understand what's going on and don't have to see their printouts going back 6 years. Have you seen, when you're installing the software anywhere, obvious examples of productivity increases?
Yes. I would say there's, because obviously, again, doing this and all we focus on is local government, we've had these discussions a lot over the last 3 years. So there's a couple factors that really lead boards to continue to approve expenditures for software like this, boards that do think of this as infrastructure, because it is. Our software will touch every citizen in this city, whether it's a utility bill, whether it's a payment online or in face-to-face. A permit, this software will touch everybody in the city. So Pete mentioned earlier people's interaction with the city. We're providing 24-hour city hall to them. So you are, by proxy of purchasing the software, increasing your service to your citizens. So that's a big thing. Productivity gains, I'm not going to put an FTE on it because you get into very political discussions on that. There are efficiency gains. I'm sure Stephanie can attest to what she saw and the folks that she spoke with at Palatine, Mount Prospect, Plainfield, the ease of use of the software, the ease to get information in and out, the ease of budgeting. There are things that just allow your city to run in a more streamlined fashion. What you do with the time that you save on that after that point is up to the discretion of staff and council.
What do the yearly maintenance expenses run approximately?
Approximately 16. So we are on a 5-year schedule, and we base our maintenance on 16% to 20% on that five-year schedule. The industry average, if you all have dealt with software, starts at 20% of software and goes from there. So we gradually increase our software to the industry average over the five years of the history of our first maintenance
contract.
We're talking
something of order 100,000 or less for the first few years.
Correct. I think year one is 40.
I think the first year one, which starts 1 year after we sign a contract, so that wouldn't be for a year from now. I think it's 58,000 roughly.
But it'll slowly work up. So we're talking, again, of approximately one FTE in terms of the cost of our cost of employing you to do some maintenance work on our software and on our system and bringing it up today. As you say, if there are new state forms required, new federal forms to require, that just becomes a plug-in update, right?
And we're responsible for that at no cost, any state, including your retirement. So if anything changes to the Illinois retirement reporting, it's our responsibility to maintain that as well as the electronic submission of that. So I don't know.
So in terms of investment, included the $500,000 can be amortized over at least 10 years, we hope.
Like I said, our average client is just shy of 15
years.
So
we have to look at this in terms of something of order $100,000 a year, which is, as I say, somewhat equivalent to one FTE, if you consider what it costs to employ anyone in an operation as complicated as the city. To me, that sounds like a reasonable investment in this, but again, I hope that this does offset the need for us to increase the size of the city staff, because certainly we don't see the city increasing by very much over the next 10 years.
And
thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Brown. Alderman Malatra.
Yeah, my questions are for Pete. Actually, he just answered one of them, because you mentioned Mount Prospect, Palatine. I was curious to know if you worked with any other municipalities or just bigger organizations like counties. So that was one of my questions. Came up a couple times, this business of paying your bill online or accessing your records online. I think that's good. I think there's people asking for it, but I think some people would maybe not consider that a need. They would see it as a want. Can you enumerate for us some of the needs that are being filled with this system? I just don't want to leave people with the impression that it's all, you know, like spinning pie charts and blitz and
can I first, if you want, Steph Neal.
Actually, before answering that question, as far as a need or want paying the bills online, seeing the bills may be a need, but paying bills online is the way everybody's going, and people don't like to have to come into City Hall or go to the Dropbox or write a check.
That's okay. I didn't mean
to. Right now, the only way they can pay their bill online is to have us withdraw it from their checking account. So it's the first way that we went to paying online, where you give us an authorization and we take the money from your account, mm-hmm. rather than you saying, okay, I'm going to give you an ACH on this date. So that's just – that would be obviously an opinion, but I think that is more of the way we're moving. And it gets revenue to the city quicker, because we don't have to worry about – if people can pay it and it's convenient, they will pay it. If it's not convenient,
Well, I think that's helpful. I want to make sure that everybody understands that what we're doing. So first, Rich hit on it. We have to replace what we have.
I don't understand.
So that's a given. So now we're looking at what we're choosing to replace it with, and I'm trying to get an enumeration of some of those benefits, mm-hmm. but I want that enumeration to be the question is it needs versus wants?
Okay. I will say some of the other benefits. One, it allows the city employees to share information in a standardized way. So the information that you're getting in the building department, once it's in the system, is the same information that's in the finance department for the utility billing. So we're not duplicating data entry, and we have the same information. So if somebody comes to the building department to purchase a permit, we can look up their account online and say, hey, wait a minute, you're 2 months past due on your utility bill. Maybe we shouldn't be issuing this building permit until you're current on your current bill. So again, it helps us track revenue. So eliminate multiple systems and reduce duplication, ease of reporting relevant data. It integrates easily with all the Microsoft products, which is the platform we work on. So we can take the information from the system, download it into Excel, and create any kind of report or statistical information. Not to harp on the old system, but there are things that we do in Excel now, not by taking it from the system and putting it in Excel, but having to actually retype the information and create these spreadsheets because the system won't. Here we can create all of those reports. Better tracking of the finances, better budgeting tools. We can do projections, salary projections, those kinds of things. Basically eliminating multiple systems, and we would have one integrated system across the whole city, which I would think would reduce errors, reduce duplications, and be more efficient.
Okay. Thanks. That's good. Some questions about the project. And you were talking about the payment schedule. Are those payments milestone-based, or are they time-based?
Time-based.
Yeah.
What if the implementation goes over 18 months?
So there's a set amount of hours that we purchased, or that was purchased and negotiated as part of the of the contract. Again, that was through the RFP process and our 31 years of installing software in local governments. So I've been with New World for 7 years. I've closed a lot of both small and large accounts here in Illinois. Stephanie spoke to almost all of them. One thing I'm sure she didn't talk or hear from any of them is that we went over budget. That's one thing that New World has a very strong track record here in Illinois, and it's because of our references. We're hoping that Geneva will be a very strong reference for us because you all know in local government, if your name is good, your name is good. If your name is bad, it's difficult to go to Batavia or go to somebody else and point to you as a reference. So, again, through the homework that Stephanie has done and based upon my 7 years of doing implementations here in Illinois, we have not gone over budget on one of my projects.
Okay, thanks.
And to confirm, I did have about a four-page list of questions that I would ask the references, and on that was a whole section on implementation, on whether the amount that they negotiated in their contract was sufficient to cover the training and the implementation, and whether or not they stayed on schedule. Mm-hmm. And those were all answered in the affirmative.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Alderman Malatra. Anyone else? Alderman Hill.
I turned it off so for everybody's benefit. But, Stephanie, I'm a bit shocked, I think, that the building department doesn't currently have the ability to check with the finance department to, other than telephone.
Other than telephone, that is correct.
Which is certainly an old-fashioned method nowadays, isn't it?
And again, not that it can't be done, but that takes a person who's in the finance doing their job, having to step away to answer the call and those kinds of things. So this would be real-time data. So if someone comes into building, or if someone comes to finance, pays their utility bill, and then walks over to building, that information will already be there in the system. So by the time they get to building, we'll know that they've paid.
I wonder how many times that's been discussed.
And I don't know if that's been an issue or not. I just, again, I think it's...
I can see that it would be desirable to have that. Whether it's been a difficulty or not is an interesting question.
Anyone else from the dais? Anyone from the audience? I'd like to call on myself. No, I would like to say one thing about the consumer-based, the consumer-driven wants and needs. Many of our Geneva City residents also have kids in the Geneva School District, and I think if you haven't had a child in the school district for a while, you would be surprised. Just off the top of my head, here's what I could tell you about my kid right now. Grade of a test he took yesterday, his attendance, if he was tardy. I could pay all my fees online. I can pay lunch money. And I can see what he bought every single day. So this is our typical consumer. So first of all, the fee payment has to be enhanced because people can, you still register on it by writing it, but then you pay your fees online, which, you know, and the school money. But so then you go to the city website, you can't pay online, you can't track what you're, you know, I have a husband who always says, well, what was it last month? Some people want to have that historical data of what they're paying each month. And the other thing is, I don't know about you guys, but I get almost all emails from residents. No one ever calls me. So I think we are a web-based. I think And just like I said about the school district, that's the norm. People don't even think it's special anymore that you would say, oh, let me look up my grade. The kids do it on their phone. Oh, I got this grade. So we're so far from giving that level of service. I felt embarrassed when I couldn't pay online. So I think that it will do a lot for the staff and efficiency and run reports that we haven't run before that were actually needed, and maybe we've just not been able to do them. But I think for the consumer, it is going to be a wonderful thing.
I'm glad my kids went to school in the 80s. All that information was TMI. Thank you very much.
Now I know why my school tax bill is so high, because some parents think they have to track their lunch money digitally.
I didn't want to know that stuff.
That's ridiculous.
You're right. Mrs. Dawkins.
Just a couple things in case you didn't see it in the memo. I would note that New World, everybody presented an RFP. Once we determined that staff believed that New World was the best option, we've been visiting with them. They added a couple modules that were not included in the RFP, and actually that lowered the price of their original RFP quote. So I think that's important to note that they're willing to work with us. And the other thing that is not included in this quote, so to Alderman Singer, we would probably be coming back in a year or two to ask for the online module for community development, which would allow people to pay for permits online. That was not included in the original proposal. Now you all can choose to add that tonight. I'm told it's about $12,000. But what we thought was we'd get everything else implemented, make sure it's all what we want, working well, and then we would move to that progress as far as being able to pay permitting online. You know, if you need a fence permit or a sign permit, things that are relatively easy to get that don't require major inspections or even schedule inspections online, they would be able to do that. So that's one thing that is not included that we would see in the future a possibility of coming back for.
Thank you. Any more questions, comments? Ready for a vote? We'll go ahead and do a roll call vote on this one, if you don't mind.
The audience isn't interested.
I asked them, too. I never forget
I'm
them.
I'm surprised that we don't.
Are they
well,
on,
we know everyone
Are they
else.
On computers? Do they have computers to be able to answer with?
This is Parkinson's law. $500,000 isn't interesting.
That's right. Okay. Mrs. Dawkins.
Alderman Brown?
Aye.
Alderman Hill?
Nay.
Alderman Maladra?
Aye.
Alderman Marks?
Nay.
Alderman Kilberg?
Aye.
Alderman Singer?
Aye.
Alderman Vogelsberg?
Aye. Motion passes 5-2. Okay. We're going to go to closed session, but let's do new business first. Does anyone have any new business? I'd like to recognize myself again.
And the joy of giving her the gavel.
My only friend, me, myself, and I. I think that we should all give a great congratulations to our friend that comes to every city council meeting and does so much for the city of Geneva and beyond. Joe Stanton is this year's 2011 recipient of the Wood Award, which is the highest award a citizen can receive in the city. So congratulations, Joe. Oh, my gosh, he'll never speak to me. Would you like to say a few words? No, you're not done with your 15 minutes. It's a whole year. Oh, yes, and his birthday was yesterday. It's just the week of Joe.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Happy Joe.
Sorry, I called him myself, aren't you? Okay, can I have a motion to go into closed session for the purpose of collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or the representatives, and there will be no action?
So moved.
Moved by Brown, second by Hill. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.